All summer long, we have been looking at a passage of Scripture together from the Gospel of John, chapter 7. We're going to look at it again today. Summer, this is a Labor Day weekend, and it is the unofficial end of summer and beginning of fall kind of thing. So I'm going to leave that passage of Scripture for a while, and I want to finish it up today, because what I really hoped is throughout this year, this summer, that you have this passage burning inside of you. But I want to tackle it a little bit differently. I don't know if you realize this, but the language of the passage that we've been looking at from John chapter 7 all summer long sounds so much like this passage that I'm going to call them parallel passages. And they both give us this incredible invitation, and they point out what life in the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, can look like. So I'm going to start here by reading John chapter 4, verse 10 through 14. And this is part of a conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well. You remember that? They had to go through Samaria. We've talked about that. A divine appointment Jesus had. That's why they went through Samaria. He was sitting on the well. His disciples had gone into town to get food. And while Jesus was sitting there on the side of the well, a woman, a Samaritan woman, came. And so Jesus simply said to her, "Can you give me a drink?" And her response was, "You're a Jew and you're talking to me? You're a man and you're talking to me. How come you're a Jew and you're talking to me, a Samaritan woman?" And Jesus responded this way: "If you only knew the gift God has for you, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who I am, you would ask me and I would give you living water." And she said, she responds back to him, "Well, where do you get this water? You know, I mean, it's like you didn't even have a bucket to get down the well. You're asking me for water. Where do you get this living water?" And then Jesus responded. He said, "People soon become thirsty again after drinking this water. But the water I give them takes away thirst altogether. It becomes a perpetual spring within them, giving them eternal life." I don't really need to preach a lot about this passage of Scripture. What I really wanted to do is I wanted to get inside of you. I want you to hear the words. And that's why I've tackled this whole summer differently. I've put up Scriptures up there and I've made you kind of slow down. I wanted you to look at them. I wanted you to drink from them. I wanted you to eat them. I wanted you to let them get in your heart. And this one in particular, I want you to just read with me the words that are underlined for a moment, then I'm going to read it again. If you only knew, everybody say knew. If you only knew the gift God has for you and who I am, everybody say who I am. You would ask me. You would ask me and I would give you living water. People soon become thirsty again after drinking this water, earthly water, but the water I give them takes away thirst altogether. It becomes a perpetual spring within them. Now this is really a parallel passage. I mean, how can you read this and not think of the one we've been looking at all summer long? Now let's think about this. I was laughing when I heard the ram's horn going off again. I was thinking, I wish that thing could get on key with you instead of being off of key.
I was able to push through it.
I know. I'm proud of you, Gary, because I know ADHD, I mean, you know, shoot, man, that horn is like, like that whole deal. But as, praise him with a horn.
That's right.
Praise him with a ram's horn. So this passage of Scripture takes place at the height of the Jewish festival. And in this festival, what I've been told, and I said from the tradition of this, is on the great day of that feast, that the priests go to a certain well and they fill this jar with water. And then all the people are silent. There's thousands of people gathered there, and there's an aisleway in the middle. And they're bringing this into the temple, and they're carrying this jar of water, and they're going to pour it out before the Lord. And it symbolizes the water that came from the rock when the people of God were in the wilderness, and they cried out to God for water, and He had Moses speak to the rock, and out came the stream from this rock. Pretty symbolic, actually, you know, from the rock came water. Jesus is our rock. And this priest is carrying this up, and they just about get ready to pour this out. And Jesus stands up. It almost hits you in the face like the ram's horn, where Jesus stands up. It's all quiet, and He shouts out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink." Anyone who believes in Me may come and drink. For the Scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from His heart. When He said living water, He was speaking of the Spirit, John writes, who would be given to everyone believing in Him. And what we said all summer long about this passage of Scripture is the thing that catches me on this Scripture is this Scripture is a little different than you would expect. Because you would think that Jesus would have said, if anyone is thirsty, come to Me and into you will flow living water. But He doesn't say that at all. He says, out of you will flow living water. The Spirit, every place you find the gift of the Holy Spirit in Scripture, it always has this dynamic in it. It's kind of like a person asking, Lord, fill me with love. And so, you know, what do you mean when you say, Lord, fill me with love? Because love is not a stagnant thing. It's not anything that can be just poured into you. Are you fill me with love. You know, I mean, I want that warm, fuzzy feeling, that love, you know, I want that in my... Is that what you're saying? Because then you're not asking the right prayer. Because love, by its nature, is given away. Otherwise, it's not love. If you don't have anything to love, see, if it's not this flow outward from you, it's not love. It's just a feeling. It's a dangerous prayer to say, God, fill me with love. Because what you actually are meaning by that is, I want to love people. I want to be a vessel through which love flows. And it's the same idea. That's why Jesus put it this way. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Would you read those words? If you are thirsty... come to Me. What does thirst look like, by the way? I think it's that thing inside of us that says, I'm not satisfied with life. Something in me is wrong. And if you feel like that at all, you're thirsty. And Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come to Me. Anyone who believes in Me, believes in Me, may come and drink. For the Scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from His heart. When He said living water, He was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in Him. Now, you get this as a parallel. These passages are parallel. Different circumstances to different people. One to a Samaritan woman, the other to the crowd of Jewish gatherers gathered to worship, participating in a water ceremony, and Jesus stands up and says that ceremony is speaking about Me. Come to Me. And out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So let's think about this, the parallel invitations, which is really what these are. And my whole desire for this summer in speaking about this is that I would have helped to create in you a hunger for more. If that's how you finish this summer off, by looking at these passages of Scripture, and there's something inside of you that says, I want more of God. I want that living water to flow through me. Then I've accomplished what I was hoping to accomplish. So listen to these parallel invitations. From the Samaritan, if you only knew the gift, if you only knew the gift and who I am, Jesus said to her. And then in front of the crowd, anyone who believes in me, it's the same thing. If you knew, I mean, how can you believe in somebody you don't know? So there it is right there. The whole parallel thing that comes together there is that about believing in Him. Do you believe in Him? Wendy, I know you do because you just got baptized a couple of weeks ago, didn't you? Welcome. Believe. Do you believe? That's why you're sitting here. Do you believe that He has living water for you? Is it only for our children? Do you believe that you too can be a vessel that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water? Jesus told the woman, if you only knew, you would ask. You would ask. Jesus told the crowd, come to me and drink. What is happening in the action of coming to Jesus? You're asking. It's the same thing. Parallel passages about the life in the Spirit. You would ask. When's the last time you just paused and said, God, I want more of you. I want to be filled with you. You tired of going through life kind of like muscling through? When's the last time you paused and you said, God, I need you. I need that living water flowing out of my life. Ed, there's hope for you. Lift up your head, brother. Because Jesus Christ is in you. And greater is He that's in you than what you're going through right now. You didn't want it to stay the same. You didn't. So the change is on its way. No matter what it looks like right now, Ed. No matter what it looks like. God's got good things for you. You would ask. And here it is. And the gift of God, if you only knew the gift. Everybody say gift. Yeah. The gift of God. And then Jesus told that crowd, they're saying, I would give you. There, the word give. The incredible thing about this stuff is that you can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't be good enough for it. It's not like, well, you know, God, from His perspective, we are all broken. It's just increments. I know Marilyn Baker, she's a good person. And she looks a lot better than me and a lot of other people. But really to God, it's like He knows you're corrupt as all of us are. It's just, you know. We love you, Marilyn. But I mean, you get it, the best of us and the worst of us. It's only a matter of increments to God's sight. A few less spots, maybe. But ultimately, we're all sick and we all need what God has to give. And the thing is that He does give. Wendy, at the funeral the other day, you know, and the and the Word. That is the. It's an amazing story. Thief hanging on a cross next to Jesus. When you put the gospel accounts together, that thief was just as bad-mouthing Jesus as the other one was for at least the first hour or so. Because it says they both were harassing him. But at some point during that three-hour ordeal, he turned and looked at Jesus. And he said these words, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Spend some time thinking about that. It's like the thing that's always struck me is like if Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead, you could imagine somebody running up to him saying, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Or when he just fed, 5,000 people with a handful of loaves and fishes. You could imagine somebody coming from the crowd running up, hey, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He healed a blind man or healed a deaf person. I mean, you could imagine somebody saying that. But at this point, Jesus is looking kind of vulnerable and weak, like it's like the weakest moment of his life. Blood's pouring out of his body. He doesn't even look human anymore. He's been beaten and whipped. It's like, breathing for him is as much of a chore as it is for these other individuals who are going through the ordeal of crucifixion. And at Jesus' weakest moment, this guy turns and looks at him and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's an incredible scene. It's just incredible. But the other side of that is, the incredible part was Jesus' response. When he looked over at him and he said, "Well, buddy, you're out of time. You reap what you sow." And what was that you said to me about an hour ago? About jumping down, and proving who I was? What was that? If I was out dying on the cross for you, if I was me hanging there, that's the kind of stuff I'd be saying.
Yes, you would.
I'd be saying, "Oh, sure, man, on your last breath now." Something like that. But Jesus turned and looked at him and said the most incredible thing. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Gift. Gift. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it. We can't be good enough for it. If you knew the gift of God, Jesus said to this woman, you would ask me. I would give you living water. Living water. A perpetual spring within them. Now, it's kind of have a double because living means the idea of running. It's running. It's pure all the time. It's flowing all the time. Princess Leia sent a message via R2-D2. "Obi-Wan, Obi-Wan, you are our only hope. I want to say something to you. You are this world's only hope. You are this world's only hope. There's nothing else that can meet the thirst that's in this world. They try. If we just had a marriage license, we would feel right. Don't you recognize that for what that is? Instead of looking down your nose, that's thirst. That's thirst. They're longing for credibility. They're longing for meaning. They're longing for purpose. They're longing for, you know, somebody to say, you're okay, you're normal, and this will make us feel that way. But it won't. Because the only thing that can make them feel that way is what's inside of you. When you have the Spirit. Living water. I think it's pretty incredible to realize that this same call finds itself all over the Scripture. It's the message of the good news that we have. So when we celebrate Pentecost, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the original 120 in the upper room, and it's repeated again and again and again in the book of Acts, different circumstances, different people, but it's repeated again. It's intended to be repeated in us today. Those disciples are waiting. See, they're asking. They're waiting. They're coming to Him. Saying, we're thirsty, we're thirsty. And out came that power of the Holy Spirit. But He didn't come like, let me just fill you up. See? It became in them that perpetual fountain of living water that has to be expressed out here. That's how Pentecost shows us that. They didn't just stay in that upper room and go, oh, this feels so good. Thank you for filling my thirst. I'm finally fulfilled. You know, they were shouting in tongues and worshiping God. And a noise was heard so much that a crowd gathered. And then Peter stands out and says, do you want some of this, baby? We got it for you. And He preached to them. He shared with them the message of Christ. And at the end of that message, those 3,000 people said, what must we do to be saved? I.e., how can we get that which you have? That's what they were asking. And Peter said these words. Each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God. King James translation, repent, which means turn around, which means if you only knew the gift of God and who I am, you would ask me. Same thing. Same thing. If anyone is thirsty, come to me. Jesus didn't use the word repent, but that's exactly what He meant when He said, come to me. Make a decision. Don't just sit there. Don't keep going in the same direction hoping things are going to change. Come to me. And here it is. Repent. Each of you must turn from your sins. Turn away from that direction and turn towards me. That's what that means, simply. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What in the world is baptism? We're about to participate in communion before we leave. Communion is an activity. It's a prayer that you act out. Like baptism. In order to be baptized, you make a decision and you come to Him and you ask. But not in words. You ask in actions. That's all what the sacraments are, by the way. They're just acted out prayers. Really. You're acting out a prayer. It's not a prayer of words. It's a prayer of action. Lord, I take You. I receive You. Lord, I receive Your blood. Lord, I receive Your death and Your resurrection, baptism. Let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then the third part, and you will receive the gift. Everybody say it again, gift. Yes. gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to ask? Do you want to ask Him? Maybe you think, well, I've already asked Him. He doesn't turn His back on you. Almost 40 years ago, I did just this. Did it because for the first time in all of my great 19 years of life, I heard these words. God loves you. I heard them for the first time. You know how we talk about hearing around here? You know, I heard them. I didn't just hear them with my ear. I'm sure that I had heard somebody say that to me before, but I never heard it. But on that occasion, I heard it. And I got down on my knees. And I said, Lord, if You love me that much, I give You my life. Did You come in? I asked. There's a funny thing about it is I was so desperate that that the next day I did the same thing. And the next day I did the same thing. And the next day I did the same thing. Are You there, Lord? Please come. I kept asking, and after about 2 weeks of that, I heard this thing inside of me that I wouldn't have described. I wouldn't have been able to describe and say God spoke to me. But He did. He said, I came the first time. Are you that hungry? Today, you have an opportunity to come to communion. It's not just a ceremony we go through to kind of remember. It's asking and God filling.